Heavenly Father, what a joy to worship and on such a beautiful, special day. Thank you again for your special gift of mothers. And we are so grateful for your faithful mothering of us, displayed in your daily blessings. The music this morning has been wonderful, and I'm honored to preach. And for Jesus' sake and with the anointing of the Spirit, may I be your hands and feet today, bringing comfort and hope and care. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Well, in the gospel accounts, Jesus gave us 125 commands. Most deal with fear. Linda and I had the honor a couple of weeks ago of attending Grandparents' Day at Pacific Christian School. And I was not surprised at how many of the chapel songs had something to do with fear. In the grade 4 song were these words: I will never be afraid. I will be strong and brave. In the grade 6's song, a repeated phrase said, come and be fearless. Come to the foot of Calvary. This first slide tells us that there is so much to be afraid of in our world. Wars and weather-related tragedies and violence in schools, in homes, on our streets, shortage of food, finances, water, relational and family problems, losing a loved one, health struggles. Slide 2, please. So many fears, but Jesus commands, don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. Read along with me, please. Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Why are you frightened? Why are your hearts doubt-filled? Do not worry about your life. Even though the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, back in 2012 and 2013, I battled anxiety, discouragement, doubts, frustration, and fear, some of our greatest enemies as Christians. And fear may fill our world and come knocking on our doors, but we don't have to invite it in and offer it a bed for the night. Here are 8 fear stoppers that helped me on this hard journey that God took me through 5 to 6 years ago. Number 1, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. We must always begin with God, casting our cares on him. Pacific Christian School's kindergarten students sang a song that included these words repeated many times: I can talk to God anytime and ask him to help me live his ways. We must never forget the wow factor of being when we pray in the presence of God Almighty. At any observatory in Canada, they will now tell you that there may be as many as 2 trillion galaxies, each with billions of stars. It's no longer billions of galaxies, but trillions. Don't even try to comprehend what God has put out there. Slide 3. Prayer is consciously coming boldly to the throne of grace, from where those galaxies are governed. The question I have for us this morning: do we really understand who we are with when we pray? Do we know where we are? Do we know into whose hands we are putting our concerns? into the hands of the one who controls each one of these galaxies and the stars within them, into the one whose hands are scarred because of his amazing love for us. Grab hold of this wow factor, and prayer will never be the same. You will pray not only humbly, but confidently for supernatural things, things that only God can do. You may pray, or you will pray, passionately, overwhelmed not by your problems, but by God's majesty and love. Maybe the first word we ought to say every time we pray, I do, is wow. That's what it should be like in God's presence. I was married at 28, had been a bachelor for a long time, so it took me a while to learn the art of cuddling. But by the time our three girls were born, I was no longer a novice. And like Linda, they loved a good cuddle, and I loved giving cuddles. I recently read of a dad quietly reading his newspaper. His little girl kept on coming over to him, wanting some attention. But he kept on saying, in a little while, honey, just a little while. And then after a few minutes, she comes crashing through the newspaper onto her father's lap. Before he could say anything, she wrapped her arms around his neck and just said, Daddy, it's cuddle time. I bet he just melted in her arms. I would have. I wonder how many times it's been our Heavenly Father trying to get our attention. And he's saying, it's cuddle time. And how many times have we been too busy? In the Bible, Jesus gives us the job description of a Jesus follower. In describing his call, Mark 3:14 records, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, Jesus does have work for us to do for him. But it's secondary. The primary assignment of his disciples, his followers, may come as a surprise to you. I'm sure it might have to the disciples as well. He appointed them that they might be with him. Can you imagine the disciples saying, here I am, Lord, reporting for duty, ready. What do you have for me? And he quickly answers, just be with me. Spend some time with me. That's what matters most to me. Not your service, but your love, your presence. Not your religious rat race, but your relationship with me. Jesus died to remove the barrier of sin between him and us that made it impossible for us to be with him. So now he places his highest value on that relationship that cost him so very, very much. Can you imagine the Prince of Glory loving you so much that he wants to be with you? So in your pain and in your hurt, whatever you're going through today or what God has planned in the week ahead, in your sorrow, in your grief, don't forget quality cuddle time throughout the day. Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. I was listening to someone bring a devotion the other day, and throughout that devotion, pray about it. Leave it with God. Fear stopper number 2, slide 4, please. Take care of life's many anxieties like you would take care of mosquitoes. When one of those bloodsuckers lands on your skin, do you normally take time and procrastinate and tell yourself you'll deal with it in a moment? No, you slap it hard. You act on it right away. Well, it's the same with anxiety and fear and worry. Become a worry slapper. The moment it rears its ugly head, don't dwell on it. Act on it. Distract yourself. For me, during that very trying time back in 2012, 2013, It was talking books. Learning Sudoku. Magazines, good books, TV and radio programs that I would not normally read or listen to. As Max Lucado writes, be doers, not stewers. S-T-E-W-E-R-S. Fear stopper number 3. Hebrews 4:16, the New English Bible. Let us therefore boldly approach the throne of our gracious God, where we may receive mercy and in his grace find timely help. Now this verse certainly backs up our first fear stopper, praying and casting our cares upon the Lord. But for this stopper, the word timely is what I want to zero in on. Boldly approach the throne of grace, where we may receive mercy and in his grace find timely help. Let us focus only on today. Not weekly, God meets our needs. He meets our needs daily. Give us this day our daily bread. He will give what we need when it is needed. Slide 5, Marlene, please. Marlene. The opening song on Tom Jackson's beautiful Christmas CD says, one day at a time, hold on. Life is no free ride, but you will survive if you take one day at a time. Fear stopper number 4, slide 6. Make a worry list. Make a worry list. Over the period of my struggle, when I was on my back for most of the day because of the pain, I recorded all my anxious thoughts, wrote them down, the things that troubled me, 11 of them to be exact. I prayed specifically about each one. Most did not come true. And the one that did, God graciously took care of it as he promised. Fear stopper number 6. I want to read from Philippians for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul is in prison, remember. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Never forget this passage. Memorize it if you have the opportunity. It challenges us to smother our worry patch with sweet peas. Let me explain. Over my 35 years as a pastor, I've had the opportunity to publish over 200 articles. And probably one of the most popular was this one, Smothering Your Worry Patch with Sweet Peas. Let me just read the opening. In the Bible, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, is found the cure for something that drives away sleep, drains energy, hinders spiritual growth, lowers your resistance to infection, and robs you of peace, joy, and power. That something is worry. The founder of the world-famous Mayo Clinic in the USA once said, I have never heard of anyone dying of hard work, but many from worry. My wife's grandfather had a garden smothered with sweet peas. Her father would sell those flowers and use the money to pay for his music lessons. That was back in the 20s and the 30s of the previous century. Imagine that you have another type of garden in your life. It's called your worry patch. Something is really troubling you, making you anxious. You have no peace. God's remedy for worry is to smother that worry patch with sweet peas. And there you have the sweet peas on the slide. Praise. Prayer. Perhaps two of the best weapons that we have in our arsenal as Christians against the attacks of the enemy. Prayer and praise. Someone I know is called Smiley by a waitress at McDonald's. He gave her some scriptures and told her, This is why I smile. What an opportunity he had because of his smiles and his heart filled with praise and thanksgiving. Smiles open doors. Pondering. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, admirable, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy, think, ponder these things. That means think deeply. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through encouragement or the endurance and the encouragement of the word, we might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4, I believe. I just love opening the word. I love serendipity, God surprising me. As I was preparing this message, as God so wonderfully does in answer to our prayers, I came across a verse, slide 8, please. Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I said, Lord, thank you. I know these people that I will have the honor of preaching to. They'll need that. You just gave it to me, and I bless you for that. That's how God works, doesn't he? He loves us so very, very much. As we think deeply and ponder this particular verse, we find another answer to why our Heavenly Father does not want us to be anxious. It's because fearlessness will magnify five great truths concerning our God. First, not being afraid shows that we treasure God as our shepherd. Fear not, little flock. If we are the flock, and we are, then Psalm 23, verse 1 works for us. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We lack nothing we truly need. Second, not being afraid shows that we treasure God as our Father. It is your Father's good pleasure, our text says. We're not only his flock, we are the Father's children. If through repentance and faith, as Paul writes in Acts 20, verse 21, just before he leaves the Philippian or the Ephesian elders, he says, turn to God in repentance and have faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. The world says we're all God's children. That's not true. We're all his creation, his creatures, but we become his children through repentance and faith. That's what Father tells to us. He really cares as our Father, really knows what you need and I need, and will work for us to be sure we have what we need. Third, not being anxious shows that we treasure God as our king. It speaks of a kingdom. There's got to be a king. And he can give us the kingdom because he is the king. This adds power to the one who provides for us. Shepherd defines protection, provision. Father defines love, tenderness, authority, provision, guidance. King defines power and sovereignty. Fourth, not being afraid shows how free and generous God is. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you. He doesn't sell. He doesn't rent. He doesn't lease. He doesn't timeshare the kingdom. He is infinitely wealthy and does not need our payments. So God is generous and free with his bounty. And this is what about him we magnify when we're not afraid. We trust him with our needs. Finally, not being anxious or afraid shows that we trust that God really wants to give. Did you notice that? Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It delights him to give us the kingdom. When I was writing that word, delight, that was the when the French president, I think it's the president, he was down in Australia on a visit. And he speaks English, but he doesn't know all the innuendos about the words. And he turned to, in saying farewell, and he turns to the Australian prime minister that he's visiting and says, thank you for the trip. And your wife was delicious. And apparently, delicious in French also means delight. Your wife was a delight I couldn't help but think that. It delights God to give us these things. Doesn't want us to be afraid. Delights him to give us the kingdom. So the point of this verse that God serendipitously gave to me as I was preparing this message for you guys, the point of that verse is that we should treasure God as our shepherd, our father, the king who's generous and happy to give us the kingdom and eternal life and to give us heaven and joy and everything we need to get there. If we treasure God in this way, we will be fearless and God will be worshipped. What great truths from pondering God's word, thinking deeply. In this case, Luke 12:32, praise and prayer, pondering, three of the sweet peas. Fourthly, we are to smother with practice, Paul says. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is what I wrote back in October 17th, 2:30 p.m., 2013. Can you go back to slide 7, Marlene, please? This is the practice that has that there. October 17th, 2013. I was in a lot of pain, very frustrated because of a tumor that had been growing in my body for at least 3 years, but only discovered in late 2013. I remembered Psalm 50, 14 and 23. Sacrifice thank offerings to God, to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue, I will deliver, I will save you. You will honor me. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, prepares the way so I may show him the deliverance, the salvation, the rescuing of God. Sacrifice costs us something. As I lay, I remember, I lay on that couch, I did not want to praise. I did not want to thank God. But I had memorized that many years earlier, Psalm 50, 14 and 23. And I said, Lord, by an act of my will, I will start praising you. And I pulled out the church hymnal and I started singing for a half an hour. About 30 minutes or so into the singing, the phone rang. I was singing Jesus Loves His Children, the Little Children. It was my surgeon. How often does a surgeon call you? But it was my surgeon. And he informed me that the tumor was benign. I broke down in tears. I was reminded once again that God is my promise keeper. 7 days earlier, on October the 10th, I had written down these words. I was listening to Charles Price. Slide 9, please. It is very possible to believe certain things about Jesus Christ, but live as though he was totally irrelevant. I wrote this down. Lord, I don't want this to be true in my life. Use this time of waiting for my biopsy to grow me, to give me a strong spirit of praise and thanksgiving. If you want to experience God in action with power in your life, then cultivate a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. There are too many of us walking around with dour-looking faces, and people don't want to interact with us because this is how they react, and we're reacting in the same way to the troubles that God allows into our lives. When we give thanks, and what are we doing? We're showing our utmost dependence on God, our Creator, the Creator of these billions and trillions of galaxies, demonstrating that He is all-sufficient. Never forget Philippians 4:4-9. Smother your worry patch with those sweet peas. Fear stopper number 6. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Slow down, in other words. Set your heart at ease. Slide 10. We're gonna skip the video, Marlene, since you don't have any sound. You may have remembered that Volkswagen. I was going to show it for 30 seconds. Easy now. Tiguan was their latest Volkswagen car they were trying to sell, and someone was reaching in to touch it, and it honked, and all the horses looked at it. It was anxious for a moment, and the owner, this guy who wants to buy it, said, "Easy now, Tiguan. Take it easy. I'm not going to hurt you." No need to be anxious. No need to be worried or fearful. According to Ecclesiastes 3:1, sometimes there is a time to cut back, a time to grow, a time to stand still, a time to gain strength by resting, by taking it easy. Frustration and failure come when we try to move the hands of God's clock. Personal peace and patience are a byproduct of cooperating with God. Fear stopper number 7. James 5:16 reads this: pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous woman. My eldest daughter in London, England, sent me an email last night and said, "Dad, I'm praying for the service tomorrow." And I quoted this: the prayer of a righteous woman availeth, accomplishes much, and sent it back to her and thanked her. The key words for this fear stopper in James 5:16: each other. Pray for each other, one another. Share your feelings, in other words, with a few loved ones. They can be your worry armor, or pardon me, your worry army. When you find them, you are unleashing a formidable, fearsome worry army against the gates of hell. Ask them to pray with you and for you. As I discovered, less worry on my part means more joy on their part. Our last fear stopper, number 8, Matthew 6:32-33. This is my life verse. This is what God brought to me when I was going through, in my late 20s, a difficult time. And God brought me this verse because I was doing a fair bit of worrying. So this verse is written in the context of worry. In our battle with fear and worry that begins with prayer, casting, we must always end with God as well, and let him be enough. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, he delivered me from all my fears. The Apostle Paul reminds us that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. The God of power and provision is always the God of more than enough. Seek first the kingdom of wealth. You'll worry over every dollar. Seek first the kingdom of health. You'll sweat every blemish and bump. But seek first his kingdom and you will find it. And I look back over my 40 years now as a 38, 39 years as a Christian, I am so grateful. I'd love to come back sometime and share with you my testimony of how he brought me from being a wildlife biologist for 10 years into his ministry as a pastor. Satan is actively at work. He hates us. He loves to see us worrying and doubting and getting frustrated. He wants to sink us by pulling us away from Jesus with worrisome things and getting us to focus on our load instead of the Lord. So resist him in the strength of the indwelling Christ, because your unbelief in a challenging situation can cost you a lifetime of regret. You tell him with Holy Spirit defiance, I know who this is. And I'm not falling for this. Why should you? You belong to Jesus Christ, at whose name every knee will bow. Sometimes in my pain, I forgot that and reaped some not so nice consequences. If you belong to Jesus, you not only have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father with you always. Nothing is too hard for him. You may not know what the Lord has planned for you, but you can be assured that it is above and beyond all you ask or imagine. I'm not sure if you're all Christians here this morning. I hope you are. If you don't belong to Christ, I beg you, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, in repentance, turn to the Father, and in faith, to Jesus Christ. Admit that you are a sinner. Believe that Christ died for you. Confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. Slide 11, please. I'm a history buff, and there was a new television program called Frontiersmen. And Linda and I just lapped that up with gusto. And it was the last quarter of the 18th century. The United States was at war with England, the American Revolutionary War. And this new TV series spoke of a place called Valley Forge. If you were to look that up, George Washington would become the first American president, and his Continental Army were being whipped in battle after battle by the British. But then came the winter of 1777 at a place called Valley Forge, which this new TV program had mentioned. To battle against the discouraged American armies, Washington had them fortify their camp while he went looking for more recruits. And a veteran European military officer began to drill those soldiers every day, teaching them just one set of maneuvers. The soldiers went into the war at Valley Forge, bloody and beaten and discouraged and divided and battle-weary, demoralized. They were ready to quit. But after the winter, they stunned the British with major victories. They came out of that winter unified, fortified, confident because of what they had done during the winter. In many ways, the outcomes of our battles may be decided by how we use the winters that God allows into our lives. And you may be in a bleak, cold, dark time right now. You could give in to your fears and feelings and just surrender, or how I like to say it, you could pull off a spiritual Valley Forge. By memorizing these 8 fear stoppers, allowing the Holy Spirit to impress them upon your heart, you could use your winter to get stronger and more focused on what you need to win. The last slide, please, Marlene. There they are. You've seen them. You've had an opportunity to look at them. It spells calmness. I pray that God would help you to embrace these truths from his word. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you will continue to care for each one of us. And once again, bless all mothers, that their love may be deep and tender, and that they may lead their children to know and to do what is good, living not for themselves alone, but for God and for others. Lord, keep us honorable. Draw us ever closer to yourself, so that when the hardships and the burdens and the sorrows of life come our way, we will come to you and be assured that you will meet our needs through Christ. And God, when the time comes to leave this life, I pray that we would be found simply believing, simply trusting. May you, the God of hope, fill us with joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit for Jesus' glory. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you.